the Cats on Talk Radio 1080. Now here's every Wildcat's best friend, Michael Bennett, alongside Shannon the Dude.
Hello, Big Blue Nation. This is Just the Cats. My name is Michael Bennett. Hope everybody's doing well out there on this Veterans Day. If you get a holiday, congratulations. If you don't, well, you're kind of stuck here with me. So, Shannon the Dude, you don't get a holiday today. I hope you're doing well.
Doing well, but of course, want to say thank you to all of our vets out there who have served, and of course, all the families who have had to sacrifice so much as well just to be able to allow their family members to be able to serve this country. So thanks to all of our vets out there.
And, you know, you bring up a good point right there. You're right. So many people think about the people that are actually in the military. We think about them, and you're right, the sacrifice that they make. But you know what? The family members that stay home are making a sacrifice too. It's got to be hard on a spouse or a parent knowing that their family member is somewhere in this world protecting our country, and you're right about that. So I always take this time to think about my uncle, who I'm named after, Mike Bennett, and they don't even know why he was named Mike Bennett. His name is actually, listen to this, Shannon, his name is actually Thurman Dillard Bennett, and they nicknamed him Mike.
Thurman Dillard,
Dillard Bennett.
So then you could have been called Thurman Dillard Bennett.
I could have.
They named him, or named you after him.
Yes.
It could have, your name could have been completely different.
I know. It could have been Thurman. I have no idea. It's so
funny. I think
funny.
In honor of Veterans Day, I'll just call you Thurman for the rest of the show today.
No, Thurman. I would rather be called Dillard. That was my grandmother's maiden name. But no, yeah, call me Thurman the rest of the day. Thank you. But I do. I think of my, because my uncle was in the 101st Airborne. During World War II, he was killed a few days after D-Day. They actually, if you ever watched The Band of Brothers, did you see that series?
No.
On HBO?
No.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so
I can't afford HBO. Are you kidding me?
Stop it.
Give me your login, and I'll check it out.
Okay, I'll do. Or you just come over and watch it with me. He was a part of the Battle of the Bloody Gulch, and unfortunately, that was the battle that he lost his life. And I just think it was one of those really interesting. You hate to say it was a cool thing to watch, but it is interesting to see a battle that's talked about in what was arguably one of the best series I've ever seen for World War II history.
I cannot imagine being in the military and the stuff that those folks face on a daily basis.
On a daily basis,
yeah,
exactly.
It's unbelievable, the courage that it takes. Just to be in the Army or any part of the military.
Exactly. Listen, I would be in the fetal position crying. Listen, I got to go home. I don't think I can do this. I've told this. One of my closest friends is a guy named Walter Hurd.
Yeah.
He was a colonel in the Special Forces. And he tells me all kinds of stories they would do in preparation for survival.
Mm-hmm.
They would just dump him off in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, my gosh.
And he talked about finding a Diet Coke in a trash can. And it was the best Diet Coke he'd ever had.
Wow.
And there was like just a few sips in there, and in the survival that they had to go through. I'm like, there's no way I could do this, Walter. And he looks at me and says, yes, you can if you had to.
So, I think I could do the marching part. I think I got that down. I could walk 50 miles if I needed to.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, I think they have to do that with their equipment on. So, you know, talking about a helmet and whatever else you have to carry around. So, yeah, I think I could do that part of it. But the mental part of it would just be horrific.
Yeah, there is no way, especially when you go from one level of the military, then you go into a different level, that being the SEALs or the Special Forces and all that they go through. And I'm thinking, holy cow, there is no stinking way. I look at myself and I think, okay, I'm more of a Bill Murray type. I mean, it just there's no, that's the greatest movie ever, by the way, The Stripes.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, all right, well, let's talk about a few things because some things happened yesterday. And listen, Shannon, when it comes to this, I have so many questions, and let's just get right to it. Darren Henshaw filled in yesterday the post-practice interview, which is normally slated for Eddie Grant. So now you think, okay, yesterday we got the announcement, three coaches are out for the ball game this weekend, if we have a ball game.
Yeah.
And now you got Darren Henshaw that's filling in and says nothing why Eddie Grant is not there.
Well,
what's the first thing that makes you think when you hear see that?
It makes you think that Eddie Grant is one of those coaches who will be out with coronavirus. But I guess we can't necessarily jump to conclusions, right?
And, well, I mean, certainly everyone is.
Yeah. And is it, you know, one of those things where we don't really need to know? I mean, we'll find out when we find out, right? I mean, when he's not,
yeah,
when he's not there on Saturday, or if he is there, we'll find out.
You're right. All these other programs are letting everyone know. Sam Pittman has it, and all these other programs are letting
isn't it
know.
Your right to not tell anyone if you don't want to tell anyone?
Yeah, it is, but you know what? When you're in the public eye, don't you think you should say, hey, I've got it, and here's the reason I'm not here? What is the big mystery in not letting everybody know? Listen, if I contracted COVID, I would just say, listen, guys, I'm out. Here are my reasons why, and let's move on.
Yeah, I feel like for some reason with coronavirus, there's almost like a shame factor that comes along
yes.
with it. But if you think about it, it's really no different than if you were to get the flu. If you got the flu, you wouldn't be like, you wouldn't feel terrible about it. But it seems like there's this shame factor to where if you get coronavirus, people are pointing the fingers at you. Oh, you were one of those people who went around and didn't wear a mask. Yet we know Tom Izzo, who claims to followed every protocol that there was, and he still contracted the virus. So, I mean, there is no shame in getting it. I think eventually we're all going to get it at some point.
Hopefully not. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, that's one of those concerns. We don't know what's happening. And I think that was a little bit of a wake-up call for a lot of us that have been somewhat nonchalant about it when Tom Izzo gets on there and start talking about this.
And you could have already had it and not even known it. Maybe you're asymptomatic.
Correct.
We don't know.
We have
Unless
no
you've been tested, you don't know.
And that's one of those things where I just, UK, why is there such a big secret? Why do we want to keep it a big secret? Hey, we know this. We're not going to tell anybody about it.
Well, it's different from person to person. Some people may think it's a big deal. Some people may not want to disclose that information.
Well, certainly Darren Hinshaw didn't have a lot to say. He said he was just there to talk about football. And, of course, when people started talking about, well, who's the quarterback going to be, he didn't want to talk about football anymore. It's like, what are you talking
about?
What
are we doing here, then? Why are we wasting everybody's time?
Exactly. You know what? If you're not going to answer some of these questions, then don't be available for a press conference. So people were asking, who is going to be the quarterback this weekend? And, of course, Darren Hinshaw goes, well, that's more of a Mark Stoops question.
Well, you know, here's what I would say. If I were at the press conference and I were going to ask a question and he kept dodging every question that people asked, I would say, okay, what would you like to talk about? That would be my question. What would you like to talk about? Just go ahead. Anything on your mind? No, not really. Okay, then let's go. We're done here.
Exactly. We're done. I mean, we are absolutely done. So I think it's fair to say, here's what I would say. If it's a Mark Stoops question, I would say, you know what, then? Go get Mark Stoops. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Bring him out and let's get some answers.
There's nothing worse when you're trying to interview or ask, you know, in this case, not necessarily an interview, a press conference, but there's nothing worse than when you have an interview and the person doesn't want to talk. Like, I've had that happen to me before.
Oh, have you really?
Oh, yeah. Like, the guy from Tool. I don't know how much you know about the band Tool.
I know nothing about it other than the name.
Maynard James Keenan.
Okay.
From Tool. He's the lead singer. But he also has this other band that was coming into Louisville. And he never does interviews. But they're like, hey, he wants to talk to you to promote this show. I'm like, oh, cool. This is awesome.
Right.
And then I get him on the phone, and he's just like, he's so indifferent. I'm like, I almost stopped the interview and said, look, dude, if you don't want to do this, we don't have to do this. But it was Maynard James Keenan. It was a guy who never does interviews. So I just, you know, kept going with it, kind of bit my tongue. But, yeah, I kind of felt like this is what Hinshaw was doing to the media yesterday.
And I think that is fair to say. When you're not going to answer questions, then just come out and say, okay, why are we here then? Right. I mean, I'll never forget a parent-teacher conference I had. This parent was so against my son. I won't say which one, but he was so against my son.
I think I know which one.
No, you'll be surprised.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes, you will.
Oh, I know why they were against your son, because your son was smarter than the teacher. And your son should have been running class. That's why your teacher was upset.
There is a lot of truth to that right there. And I looked at him and said, if you don't want to help him, then why are we even here?
Yeah.
And as soon as I said that, that teacher had a completely different outlook on trying to help my son.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's legitimate to get out there and say, listen, if you're not going to talk to me, what do we talk about then? And I think that was just a waste yesterday. And I like Darren Hinshaw. But to send this poor guy out there, I almost got to a point where I felt sorry for him. So, I mean, but I know we got to take our first break. But when we come back, you know, there's been a lot of rumors about Terry Wilson, and was this really an injury, and he was considering opting out. Well, somebody asked Darren Henshaw that question. So when we come back, I want everybody to listen to his answer. And Shannon, I want you to tell me what you think about this. And did he admit something or did he not?
Okay.
But first of all, you know what? It's 8:16 in the morning and it's time to get that cup of coffee. And there's only one place to go, and that's the Coffee Zone. It's just a couple of minutes off the Waterston Expressway at the corner of Her Lane and Westport Road at the shopping center called Westport Village. They do a phenomenal job. They do all their own roasting of their own beans. They got more sugar-free flavors. You hear me talk about it all the time than anybody else out there. I love them. They take care of me, and guess what? I take care of them. That's the Diana and Craig Bishop. Go tell them I said hello and get the Michael Bennett drink. That's all you need to do. And that's it. So go to the Coffee Zone, Westport Road Village. We'll be right back. This is Jessica Katz.
And if it's real, I don't want to know.
Now back to Just the Cats on Talk Radio 10.
Little no doubt there. I like that.
Yeah.
She's pleasant on the eyes, by the way.
Better watch it. Blake Shelton will get you for that.
Yeah, you know, the funny part is I don't even know who Blake. I know he's a country music singer. That's all I know, and I'm a little envious of him.
Well, he's a big guy, and he would kick your butt.
Yeah, well, listen, it would take a little guy and kick my butt. I am not a fighter. I can tell you honestly right now, I have never physically been in a fight before in my life.
Really?
Never. Not even in elementary, middle, or high school. I've never been. Now, I've been in shouting matches, but no, as soon as I know it's going to get physical, I turn it around and start making a joke.
Mike Bennett, real tough guy here.
Mike Bennett. Yeah, Thurman, thank you.
Oh, yeah, Thurman. That's right. It is ironic that a guy who, you know, fought for our country has a guy named after him who won't even fight. Hasn't even been in a fight in his entire life.
No, it's you've been in a fight then. I know.
Of course. I mean, OVW every Tuesday night. My gosh. Okay. Some of the most epic fights of all time.
That's right. They're
just turn on your TV. You can see it.
They're such a perfect fight. They almost look scripted. So
I'm going to.
Yes. Let's go to the
phone. I wish you were
line.
Here right now. I've got a script for you.
502-57.
And it involves this fist going into your face.
571-1080. I know. And you know what? You would die laughing if you did that to me.
Does the name John Stossel mean anything to you?
John Stossel?
No. Stossel.
Stossel. No, I have no idea.
Yeah, he was the reporter. I think it was back in the 80s. He was interviewing this wrestler, and he said fake. And the wrestler goes, oh, you think this is fake? And he like, pushed him down and punched him in the face.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, there's a whole lawsuit. Look that up, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, John Stossel, I will definitely look that. Let's go.
I bet he doesn't
lines.
Think it's fake.
I bet he doesn't.
JT,
either.
What's going on, man?
Hey. Okay, can we win two out of the next four ball games we've got to play? Football.
Okay, so when you say that, JT, the two you are talking about, I'm sure, is number one, Vanderbilt, number two, South Carolina.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
As much as I love the Cats, you know, reality is a thing of the future. Get ready to get knocked out. You know, you can revive and come back. But get ready to get knocked out when we play Alabama. Ooh, my goodness. You know, I love Kentucky football, but I am a tremendous, humongous Alabama football fan.
Oh, my. Okay. That unfortunately, JT, that kind of changes my perspective on you now. I've got to know this. How did you also become an Alabama fan? Is it because that Kentucky football has not been that great, unlike Alabama?
No, I've been watching Alabama for a long time. You know, every time they come on or I hear about them or whatever, the whole nine yards, I like the way Saban has his ball players in order. You never see anybody slacking. You never hear about anybody running away or doing something crazy. Saban runs a good program, and you have to give him credit. He hasn't won those championships just for the heck of it.
Yeah, I agree with you there. So, all right, anything else before we let you go, JT?
No way. The weather's changing, so is the arthritis. Have a good day, guys.
Oh, my gosh. That is true. It is amazing how the weather just changes how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Cloudy, rainy day, I feel it. But my sister, who also has arthritis, she'll tell me up and down. She knows when the weather's changing because her joints start hurting.
Did I hear JT right, though? It almost put me in shock there. He said he was an Alabama football fan?
Yes.
I never knew that about JT.
I would have never thought that.
He rendered me speechless. I didn't even know what to say about that.
I don't either. I mean, do you like the fact that some fans are like that? I know down in Eastern Kentucky, you've always had those fans that love Kentucky basketball and love Tennessee football, which I think is just abominable. I have a problem with that. So where I've got a buddy of mine that I grew up with who graduated from UK and worked down in Alabama and became an Alabama fan. Don't you think that's kind of deserting your own team?
Yeah, I mean, I've always kind of picked one or the other. I like Vanderbilt and I like Kentucky.
Yes.
But I don't like just Kentucky basketball and just Vanderbilt football or vice versa. By the way, who likes Vanderbilt football? Well, I mean, that's a true fan if you like Vanderbilt football.
Yeah, I know it, and I don't. It's almost desperation down there. I feel like this is. You talk about guys that are on the hot seat within the SEC. Derek Mason has to be that guy right now.
I just don't know. And I said this on KSR to Cutler yesterday. I don't know who is signing up to go coach Vanderbilt football. Anybody that they would actually want.
Well, but Franklin was successful down
there.
Sure,
he was, but he is he's the exception to the rule. I mean, how many times does that happen?
Not very often, but obviously he was a great coach down there. So, and he was beating, obviously, Kentucky and Tennessee on a regular basis, as well as other teams. All right, let's go back to Darren Henshaw, because I do want to play this. So Josh Moore of the Lexington Herald asked Darren yesterday, filling in for Eddie Grant, that there had been rumors the last couple of weeks about was there really an injury to Terry Wilson in his wrist, because Terry could never identify when the injury actually happened. Don't you know when an injury happens, you know when it happens.
Right.
And so there was a rumor going around that Terry was considering opting out for the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So let's listen to what Darren Henshaw, how he answered this. Go ahead and play it.
It was a situation that, you get, this is really tough times, and it's a situation where you get emotional, and sometimes, emotions get a hold of you. But I'll tell you, the conversations that I've had with Terry Wilson have been nothing but great. He loves Kentucky. He wants I just got off the field and just hugged him. I got off the field and said, man, what a great day. So he's working hard for Kentucky football, I promise you that.
All right, so stop it right there. So to me, that's a yes, that Terry Wilson was considering opting out. Am I wrong about that?
It sounds like it. It certainly sounds like it. If we're reading between the lines, it sounds like he was right there on the cusp of opting out.
Yeah, we get emotional. And, of course, we all know his mother was on social media and not very happy with what was going on. But on the other hand, listen, I respect Eddie Grant and Mark Stoops because of the fact that they know what they're getting into as soon as they start playing other quarterbacks, Joey Gatewood, and the potential of Bo Allen coming out there and playing. So you start looking at that, and as soon as they do something like that, there is a controversy when it comes to that position. So now you've got that controversy, and that makes it even more difficult for them because, a lot of people are going to ask questions. So I admire that Mark Stoops has gotten himself into this position. What do you think, Shannon?
Well, I think, first of all, we're going to see both quarterbacks this weekend.
If not all three.
Possibly all three, depending on the situation. So, it's going to just depend on whoever plays the best. I think that's who we see for the rest of the season going forward. If Terry Wilson comes out and plays the best, I think he's our starting quarterback from there on out. But if Joey Gatewood comes out and has a really good game, I think there's a good chance we see him against Alabama as the starting quarterback.
Yeah, and it's going to be a matter of, who is going to get the starting position this Saturday? And I really think it's going to be Terry Wilson. Mark Stoops and Darren Henshaw said he's had a really good couple of weeks since the break. So I really think that's going to be your starting quarterback. And hopefully he gets out there and plays well. So let's go ahead and take our next break, 502-571-1080. And you can tweet me at Just a Cat Radio. We'll be right back. Just a Cat.
Now back to Just the Cats on Talk Radio 1080.
This is probably one of my favorite Metallica songs. Yeah. You know, it's not the ordinary Metallica. You know, we heard Foo Fighters yesterday and their new song. You hear this and you think, this is Metallica? Of course, you can tell the iconic voice right there.
Right, yeah, this is off the S&M 2 album. And the reason I'm playing this is because yesterday when I got home, there was an unmarked package on my front porch.
Did you call the FBI?
Well, I thought, man, somebody's really dumped off a lot of foreign money this time. But it didn't have my address on it. It didn't have anyone else's address on it. I'm like, what could this be? I listened closely. It wasn't ticking. So I opened it up, and it was a bottle of Metallica's blackened whiskey.
Really?
That someone from their distillery had sent me.
And, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, this thing is really cool. I took a video earlier. I'll tweet that out in just a few minutes, but I'm really excited to try this. Actually, I've already tried it at Louder Than Life Fest last year.
Right.
They have some really good whiskey, but it's sold in liquor stores throughout Louisville.
Okay.
And not just in Louisville. I mean, it's in other cities as well, but it is definitely in Louisville. I know that for sure.
But you liked it.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to popping this bottle open later.
Okay.
I'll come in tomorrow with a Metallica blackened whiskey hangover.
See, I like that. I mean, let me know what time you want me to come over.
Yeah.
And I'll help you.
Well, sure.
More than happy to help you.
Absolutely.
Speaking of videos that's kind of gone viral, did you see that? I keep forgetting that this week is Masters Week. You know, it's just the strangest time. Normally, you've got the crowd there. Normally, you got the dogwoods and the azaleas blooming for the Masters. And I've Shannon, I know you're not much of a golf fan, but you know, this is a huge event when it comes to golf. It is the premier event like the Kentucky Derby.
Mm-hmm.
But yesterday, there is a one of the players there, Jeff Rahm. He was hitting at number 16. Yeah, 170-yard par 3. And he completely duffs it. And it's over a lake. And so the water starts going down to the water, skips three times on the water, gets back up on the grass, goes to the green, and goes into the hole for a hole-in-one duff.
I believe that may be the most impressive,
I think so too.
Unbelievable, how in the hell did that happen shot I have ever seen in my entire life.
Yes.
I mean, you have to see it to believe it.
Yeah.
You describing it and me describing
it give it justice.
Does not do it justice. You have to see this video of this shot.
Yeah.
It's like, it defies logic.
it made me feel good because that's normally what I do anyway, is duff it down into the water. But to see it skip like it did, jump on the green, and just roll over. And, of course, and the other part is that's crazy. That was his birthday, and that was actually the second hole-in-one that he's had in 2 days.
Wow. Have a week, huh? I mean, my gosh.
Exactly. So I'm glad to see that. You know, that's one of those golf courses. That's an iconic golf course without any. I mean, even you could admire that golf course, I'm sure, couldn't you?
Yeah. I mean, I can't get two hole-in-ones in a round of putt-putt, let alone on a golf course.
That's right.
Yeah.
I just thought that was one of the coolest things. So you can go on my Twitter account and you can see that Just a Cat Radio. But, hey, if you want to give us a call, 502-571-1080. And we'll go to the phone calls right now. Who's up first?
Todd.
Todd, what's going on?
Good morning. Hey, that John Rahm shot, the guys on that hole on 16, that's part of the they hit a ball and then they walk up to the edge and they try to skip it over the pond.
They were trying to do that.
So he was actually, the gist of it is if you can skip it that far and get it onto the green. So that's even more incredible that he was able to skip it across the water and then actually get it on the green and go in. So,
wow.
Kudos to him. But
yes, absolutely.
Hey, I got a question to throw out to you all. With this year, I know like football players, they can play this year and they don't lose a season of eligibility, correct?
Correct. That is correct.
So what do you think is going to happen with Terry Wilson? Because he's got another year, and if we throw this year out, then do you think Gatewood and Wilson will compete against each other? Or do you think Terry will transfer out and go somewhere else for 1 year to like really be under a system where he feels he's got some backing? Because maybe he doesn't feel that way now. So just curious your all's thoughts.
Yeah, listen, Todd, I appreciate the phone call. I've heard several people answer this similar question, and I'll answer first, Shannon. I want to hear what you think, but here's what I think. And this is not coming from anyone else. This is just my perspective. Terry Wilson hasn't said anything about this, and obviously the UK football team has not said anything about that within the coaching staff. So here's what I think. Listen, you got Joey Gatewood coming up. You got, as well, you got Bo Allen coming up. I really feel like this is Terry's last year no matter what. I feel like that he, yes, he will transfer somewhere else and look for a system that's going to be suited to his abilities. And he hasn't really had that this year. I mean, we can all readily admit that. He hasn't had any kind of help on the pass blockage. He hasn't had any kind of help when it comes to the running game has been pretty good, but not to the normal standards we've seen the past few years. And he definitely hadn't had any help on the wide receiver side. So I think he'll opt out. Joey Gatewood will be our starting quarterback next year, but Bo Allen might, you know, really give him a run for his money. What do you think, Shannon?
I really think it depends on what happens these next four games. I think that if Joey Gatewood takes over and he's the clear starter for Kentucky to end the season, I think there's a very good chance that we don't see Terry Wilson anymore. But if Terry Wilson's able to come back and, you know, have some good games to close out the season, then I think there's a chance that he comes back. I think it all depends on what happens.
Even if the next four games, Terry Wilson gets his starting job back and he plays really well, I still think he's not staying in Kentucky. I still think he's going to find another school. Look what I did against those last four games, and that's what I can do for you. I still think he's gone. So
it's, I mean, he hasn't had, you know, but he's still had a great career here at Kentucky.
Oh, very much so.
Hasn't been a great season this season, but he's been very successful. I mean, his record has been, well, I mean, just about as good as any for the games he's played.
Did you see the pictures that Cal put out yesterday of the showing the floor at Rupp Arena?
No, I didn't. Did he tweet that out?
He did. He tweeted that out. Go check it out, because he now shows the picture that has the name Rupp Arena at Central Bank. So look that up.
Oh, I see it.
Okay, what do you think about that?
It doesn't really bother me.
It doesn't.
Does it bother you?
It doesn't bother me. I don't care. Listen, it doesn't matter about the whole, and we're not going to get in the whole political side of the whole Rupp name.
No, I don't want to talk about that
anymore. But I'm telling you right now that within the next 5-10 years, Rupp's going to be gone, and it's going to be Central Bank or somebody else, because here's what's going to happen. It's going to come down to how much money these companies are going to pay to advertise at the Kentucky home stadium for basketball.
And I think it depends on whatever sponsors there are. If they're cool with the Rupp name, then I think it'll stay. But I think if there is an advertiser willing to spend enough money who is like, we're not cool having our name on there with Rupp, you know, money's going to win out. And I think they would remove it for that.
It's going to happen.
Don't you see that happening?
Yes.
There's some, you know, major company out there who's willing to just bring a dump truck and just dump all the money right there at the feet of Mitch Barnhart and company.
Yes.
And they say, we are willing to put our name on your floor, but we don't want Rupp on there.
Yeah, we want only our name.
And when that happens,
they're going to say yes.
The name of Rupp will be done.
Yes. As much as I love the Rupp
name. You don't have to.
And what Adolph Rupp did. But you're right. You don't have to. But you know what? During the time period that we're going through right now, every school out there is in desperate need of money.
Well, I would say Mitch Barnhart stuck to his guns on the alcohol situation.
He did. But you know that's going to change. And that's okay. You want to talk about something irritating. You know, this whole expansion with Rupp Arena is so that they can have a club place for all the rich to go and have a drink. Mm-hmm. It's like, wait a minute. Why are we talking out of both sides of our mouths? So they can go and they have the money to go pay for this alcohol, but yet, you know, the common guy can't go over there and get a beer.
Yeah.
I have a real problem with that. So, yes, he stuck to his laurels, but you know, honestly, if you look at this honestly, Shannon, he's talking both sides of his mouth.
Yeah, yeah. I think eventually it's something that we will see, but I don't know if it's going to happen in 5 years. Will it happen in 10 years, 2 years? Not sure what the timeline's going to be as you just hit your head on the microphone, it sounded like.
I know.
You
sorry
okay there?
About that. I'm fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to get myself into a fight. So, women's basketball. Ranked preseason number 11 yesterday in the AP poll.
Yeah. How about that?
How about this, though?
I mean, we knew that, though. I mean, we talked about with Matthew Mitchell just last week about all the returning players that he has and the incoming freshmen, transfers. I mean, he's got a loaded roster this year.
Yeah, but so does everybody else in the SEC. I mean, this is pretty much a brutal SEC. Of course, you got South Carolina at number one. Mississippi State is number five. Texas A&M is behind UK at 13, and Arkansas is at 14.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be a league that was just dominated by Tennessee. And now you get to, and that's one of the questions I wanted to ask Matthew Mitchell, but we just ran out of time last week. But because he keeps stealing these players from Tennessee, and now Tennessee is not even in the top 25. They got one vote, but they're not even in the top 25. You know, Pat Summitt had it going on at Tennessee. She had teams that I would contest that could probably beat some men's teams out there.
Oh, yeah, back in the day, absolutely.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, those Tennessee teams from the 90s were just unbeatable.
Exactly. So, hey, by the way, there's only one place to go. If you have your CBD needs and you've got some issues with pain, anxiety, you're not sleeping well, go to cornbreadhemp.com. They're USDA-certified organic CBD oils. You hear Shannon and I talk about this every day. I like the fact that it's Kentucky proud because I like to deal with local companies, and plus the fact that the co-founders are cousins. They're a family-owned business by Jim Higdon, and who is responsible for the book Cornbread Mafia, which I'm sure y'all have heard about quite often, and, of course, my good friend Eric Zipperly. So go check them out. Shannon, tell them what kind of special deal they got going on.
Well, right now, if you go to cornbreadhemp.com and you use the promo code STOCKING, STOCKING, you're going to get a 500-milligram CBD lotion with any $50 purchase at cornbreadhemp.com.
All right, there you go, cornbreadhemp.com. So when we come back, we got to talk about this. There is a website called Zippia. You ever heard of that?
Yeah, because okay. I know what you're going to say.
You do.
I already know. I already know the story.
Good.
You want me to say what it is?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, they put out a map of every state's favorite Thanksgiving side dish. I tweeted this out yesterday.
Oh, you did?
And
okay,
it's gotten a ton of backlash.
Yeah.
People are like, no way, this is real. I don't know. I don't know who they go out and survey. I don't even know if it says on the website.
It does.
It does? Okay, well, you can give me the details on
that.
We'll tell you what Kentucky's favorite Thanksgiving side dish is.
Yeah, and then we'll dispute that because I don't know about this. But all right, you want to give us a call, 502-571-1080, or tweet me at Just the Cat Radio. We'll be right back. It's Just Cats.
Now back to Just the Cats on Talk Radio 1080.
You know, this is one thing that I will say I like what they do at the UofL games before they kick off.
Yeah.
They play this song right here, Enter Sandman. I think it's one of the coolest things. The crowd gets into it. I like, this is one tradition I wish.
Are you there? I guess we just lost Michael Bennett. Anyway, we were talking about this Metallica whiskey during the break and the conversation that we were having. It says on this bottle or on this box that each one of these... Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Golly. Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, I was just telling everybody, you and I were having the conversation during the break about each bottle supposedly is distilled to a soundtrack, to a different album from Metallica. Right. So this particular bottle is from the S&M 2 Live album that they say they distilled this to.
So they're rocking it out while they're distilling this.
That's what they say. It says right here on the box,
each batch
of Blackened uses Metallica's music to literally shape the whiskey using the proprietary sonic enhancement process Black Noise, the low hertz frequencies, pummel, the Black Brandy casks, during finishing, extracting more flavor from the wood. So you can call BS on that
if you want to.
But they say that I guess if you go to the distillery, they are blasting Metallica music as they are making this blackened whiskey.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to call BS on that.
This particular bottle was made to the sound of S&M 2.
Okay, good. Yeah. And is S&M 2 a good one that you like?
Well, it just came out. It's the brand new live album.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. Well, congratulations. All right, let's talk about this because the website Zippia rated the most popular Thanksgiving side in every state. And let me tell you how they did this. So last year in November, they looked at what each state was searching for. And that kind of dictated when it came to the recipes people were searching for pre-Thanksgiving to what the most popular side dishes are in each state of the United States.
Yep.
So now, do you like how they – it's not real scientific, but, I mean, that kind of makes sense how they came up with the most popular side.
Based on what was searched the most.
Based on what was searched the most on Google.
Well, so you know, I don't know that means that's your favorite. I think that means you don't know how to fix
well, maybe that
particular
it. Yeah.
dish. Like out in California, they don't even know how to make mashed potatoes, according to this.
I can't believe that. I mean, in some states, it was gravy.
Yeah. I mean, well, gravy, I could understand. You could have the right, you know, consistency of it. But mashed potatoes.
Yeah, but gravy's not a side dish, though, is it?
Well, it can be.
You
put it on your mashed potatoes.
So Kentucky, they chose broccoli casserole, which I despise broccoli.
There's not one other state that has broccoli casserole.
Yeah, most of them are green bean casserole, which I love. Look at Maine. Maine picked out side salad.
If I go to your house on Thanksgiving,
yes.
And your main dish, is a side salad, I'm walking out the door and going back home.
See, I am too. That or cranberry sauce. New Hampshire picked cranberry sauce. Does anybody really eat cranberry sauce?
Yeah, I think people do. I don't think
they
do? I don't think that's so outrageous.
All right.
But I'll tell you.
All right.
Let's just go ahead and get the argument out of the way.
All right.
There's only one answer for the best Thanksgiving side dish, and that is stuffing / dressing, depending on what you call it. I don't know if you call it stuffing or dressing.
Dressing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we call it in Bullitt County, too, dressing.
Oh, it is?
My grandmother would take, she would make it, you know, some people have to scoop it out, but she would take it and she would, like, put little patties out and then bake it that way.
Yes.
It is the absolute best. I could just eat that and not even have to eat turkey or anything else.
See, my mom would, she wouldn't put it in the turkey at all. She would just make them into round balls.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Cornbread dressing is what she would make.
Yep.
Very Southern traditional type. But that wasn't my favorite. My favorite, it's probably a toss-up. Between corn casserole, corn pudding, or sweet potato casserole, which had the marshmallows on top.
Yeah.
I mean, that's dessert to me. So, yeah, those are my two all-time. But you go to my house, and before you eat, you've already gained 50 pounds because we've got so many side dishes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even funny. I mean, because the other argument is, do you bake or do you fry your turkey?
I don't do it either.
Oh, I do.
I'm not the one who's cooking Thanksgiving dinner.
I am the one cooking the turkey.
I wouldn't know. If you gave me a turkey, I wouldn't know whether to cook it, fry it, bake it, throw it.
Oh,
I don't know.
Come on. Now, I've done it a couple of ways. I've never baked a turkey, but I've smoked a turkey and I've fried a turkey.
I try to stick it in the microwave for a minute and a half and see what happens.
All right, you're coming to my house this year. Listen, I like to have the whole tailgate scenario. I bring the table outside. I bring a tent in case of inclement weather, of course. I got my TV, mm-hmm. and I'm frying the turkey. I love it. That's my favorite way to do it, and it's relaxing.
You do it out there on your driveway?
I do.
Where Belmont?
Yes, you're exactly
relieves
correct.
Himself? Really?
You didn't need to that.
Well, I mean, that's true. Everybody's seen it. We've seen the pictures.
Okay, well, you know, I put it over there on the grass, okay? Yes. It's over there, of course, but the turkey is not getting close to the
pine cones. The health department would shut your Thanksgiving down. My gosh.
Okay, fine.
Proximity to the turkey.
How about this?
How about droppings?
How about Duke announced yesterday? I don't know if you saw this. Cameron Indoor, which is where they play basketball at Duke every now and then.
I've heard.
They are not going to have fans this year in the stadium.
You know, that's a little bitty, tiny, packed in.
Yes.
I don't even know if you would call that an arena.
Well, you talk about an arena that has a distinct advantage, a home crowd advantage.
Yeah.
That's Cameron Indoor.
Those students are right up on you when you're going to inbound the ball. I mean, they're right there on your back.
Very much so. I mean, and you look at the press row right up there, those poor guys, they've got all these students leaning on to them.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, that is going to change a lot of games for Duke.
I think it will.
Not having any of the fans there.
Absolutely. I think that's really... Duke and Kansas probably had the two best home court advantage atmospheres. Would you
they
agree with that?
They are loud.
Yeah. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. And I tell you what, it's going to change some games for Duke. I think it's going to be a lot more loss. So anyway, check out the website, justacats.com. Check out the gear. I'd appreciate it. Shannon, we'll see you tomorrow.
All right, Michael.
Everybody have a great Veterans Day. We'll see you later.